Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Welcome back. Taxation is theft. Thank you for joining, everyone. Of course, don't forget to subscribe, follow, like, share, comment, do all that kinds of fun stuff. Help us get in front of your friends and bring their attention here, because we're going to talk about things that really matter, like the presidential candidates that can actually do something and aren't going to get elected and then just do whatever the CIA tells them to do. How's that?
Works.
Sam, Rob, welcome. We have a
Hey Dan.
We have a 2020 presidential candidate, the guy who thinks he's going to take me down. Okay, here we go. First question. Convince me to vote for you instead of me.
Oh, wow. Actually, with you it's pretty easy. Do you see what happens to presidential candidates? Right. Well, you see what happens to the actual president when he's been in office for 4 years?
Yeah, they lose all their hair and turn gray.
Do you want to look like that? I already look like that. Okay, I'm already there. So you might as well let me blaze the trail, and you can continue to enjoy life.
Oh, that is a really tempting pitch, man.
I'll even sweeten the deal. You vote for me, I will put you in charge of the IRS. For as long as it continues to exist.
Oh, that'll be
fun. You can have fun dismantling it piece by piece.
That'll be fun. Yeah, because I was kind of thinking, because a lot of people, they expect me to just like go in and shut down the IRS day one. But there's this thing they do in Japan where when they really don't like you, instead of firing you, they stick you in an office and don't have anything in your inbox. And it's like, you can't just not show up to work, because then you get fired and that's like dishonorable. But I guess, I don't know, IRS agents are kind of dishonorable to begin with, so they probably don't care about that. But if you want to keep getting paid, you got to show up at least. But you just have to sit there and do nothing. And you can still poke your head and be like, hey, you're not supposed to be on Facebook. You're working right now. Even though, but I got nothing to do. I don't care. Get off Facebook. We're not paying you to be on Facebook.
Yep. You could see that. Do it. What was it was Arvin's line, wasn't it? That I want to throw the entire federal government into, you know, all the employees into chaos or something like that. You could do it.
Yeah, it's it'll be fun. So yeah, so you're on my, I've got my good list and my bad list of presidential candidates. You're on my good list. Congratulations. I don't really talk about my bad list because I try not to be, you know, negative tactics.
Nobody
and it's
wants
not,
to. Yeah.
It's not even really anything really bad, but it's like, yeah, let's go out and have a beer, right? And then there's the people who are just
made the
like,
beer list. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then there's the other people that's just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to be seen with you. No, I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, so. And I've only met you a couple times, but I think what you've had to say is pretty interesting. So so that's really
awesome. Back at you. Yeah.
So let's just start out. What is your campaign? What is it all about? Why are you running?
I actually explained this to somebody recently.
You're going to be explaining it to a lot of people.
Well, you're familiar with the idea of dark humor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in the military, if you're in the police, if you've served, you know, as an EMT or something, you get this idea. You start making fun of things when they get disturbing, because that kind of takes the edge off of them and pushes it away a little bit. And for years, I've been joking about running for president. And it took until this year for me to realize that one of the reasons I was doing that was it was kind of dark humor, right? pushing it away. Yeah, let's laugh about it. Let's make a joke about it. And honestly, you look at it and I think this is the year for the Libertarian Party. I think this is the year for getting a bunch of voters from both the left and the right side of the aisle to throw up their hands and say, that's it, I'm done. But even more than that, I've got three girls. My oldest is getting ready to graduate from college. And I'm looking at the world that we're leaving for them, and I don't want them growing up in a country where everything is regulated from kindergarten to the grave, and where everything that you do belongs to someone else, and everything that you might want to achieve is pushed down or crushed. I'd like to see them live in a free country. So
right.
There you have it.
Yeah. Nice. That's a very noble cause.
And I hate taxes too.
Yeah. Well, there you go. As he sips the tea. Yeah, wait, that's a good question. How much sales tax did you pay on that tea? Was it more than 3%?
I don't even know.
Was it tax? Is that considered one of the prepared products? Because that's what they do, right? If it's if it's an unprepared product, you don't pay tax. But if it's a prepared product, you do, or something like that?
It's brewed, so I'm presuming it's prepared. You don't even think about that, though, about all the taxes that slide in. You know, filled up my gas tank, I got a tea, who knows what else that I've paid taxes on. We just kind of gloss over it.
Yeah, even with the tea, I mean, you don't think about this, but the tea, let's say there is no sales tax on it, you're still paying the bottle manufacturer, they're still paying a sales tax, they're paying a business license, they're paying property tax on their manufacturing plant, so is the tea company. They're probably paying all kinds of taxes on, you know, who knows what, if they're importing stuff. Like, there's like a million taxes just in that one little product, and when you get it on the shelf and it's, you know, $1.99 or whatever it is, it's like whoa, no taxes, okay, cool.
Yep.
No,
and that's not even counting the stuff that gets, okay, so we pulled the oil out that we're going to refine, and that's, you know, we sold that to somebody, and that's a tax there, and then they made it into plastic, and that's a tax there, and then they sold the plastic billet to somebody, and that's a tax there. It's just a chain of, you know, little teeny tiny prices added on until you, like you said, you get a $2 bottle of tea when it should be right. 25 cents.
Yeah, and like, so this is like, it's really impossible to say, but so I did, this is the closest thing I was able to do to like say, like, okay, here's a big picture of the whole thing, right? There's a website that's, they've done all the groundwork of figuring out every federal, state, and local tax, just like total revenue that all the cities and states and everything are bringing in. And it comes up to something like $8 trillion. And then you divide that by the population, and it comes out to something like $27,000 per person per year. And it's like, that's, or 20,000, I don't know. It was like more than half of, and then you Google the average salary of Americans, and it was more than half. So,
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's like, if you do, because like a lot of people are like, especially if you earn less than 20 grand, you look at your check and you're like, oh, they only took like, a couple percent because, you've got your minimum deduction and all stuff. They're not taking a whole lot. So they're thinking they're getting away with it, but they're not getting away with it. But, they think like, oh, yeah, it's all the rich people paying the taxes. When really, no, it's just their bosses paying all the taxes. The billionaires aren't paying much. But it's your car taxes, your traffic tickets, your parking tickets, parking meters. Like all of this stuff adds up. And the income tax accounts for something like, I think it's $3 trillion.
Yeah, it's relatively small.
And most of that is individual incomes. Like less than a quarter of that is corporate income. And then we're talking 7 or 8 trillion. So that income tax doesn't even account for half of what the government takes from us.
Yeah.
And you have to
look at gas taxes alone. In Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I forget exactly what the exact number is, but it's something like 60 cents per gallon. And you just look at that and figure, okay, I'm ask somebody, would you be willing to pay, $7 or $8 less per fill up? You've got people who, that's half a tank of gas, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about doubling the amount of fuel they can put in their car by getting rid of the gas tax. It's insane.
Right. Yeah, and so now you have, because that's an incentive to, you know, the price of gas goes up. Oh, I'm going to get a car that gets better mileage. So you get a car that gets better mileage, and then the government makes less in taxes. And so first they raise the tax, and then they say, like California's doing this now, they want a per mile tax. So every time you go in to register your car every year, you have to update the mileage, and they tax you on how many miles you drove. Because, you know.
And that's to deal with the electric vehicles, isn't it? Because especially they're not getting the tax from that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, shit. But California's stupid because they're like, they're chasing out all these businesses and they're like, we lost all this tax revenue. What are we going to do? Let's raise taxes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, what kind of cycle are you in? What are you trying to do?
It's actually, it's weird. If you come at it and start looking at it and think of it in terms of, this sounds weird, but you think of it in terms of addiction. You think of it in terms of, okay, I've got an organization that need or an organism that needs a fix, right? What happens when you take something away from it? It goes out and it finds it however it can get that. The other thing with addiction is, you know, once you reach a certain level, you get used to it and you need more.
Right.
And you just constantly need more and more and more. You know, that's the way the government operates. If we could solve all the problems that the government has said that they wanted to solve in my lifetime by throwing money at it, we should have been able to. You know, we've spent trillions and trillions on education, on fighting poverty, on ending homelessness, ending hunger, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No matter how much money you throw at it, it's never enough. It's never going to do the problem. And they're just going to keep on upping the ante until they've got everything. And we'll have nothing. Government will have everything and we'll still have all the problems.
Yeah. It's somebody pointed out, because I guess what Trump announced that he's something about they spent like $2 trillion on new weapons or military something. And so somebody did a breakdown and said, okay, so $2 trillion equals $60 billion, which would end poverty, $60 billion, which would, you know, get everybody free college in the entire country. Like they were adding up all these things. And of course, like I'm not in favor of any of that. We shouldn't have been stealing money in the first place, but I thought it was it makes a really interesting point that even when they have the money to spend, I mean, think about it. They had $2 trillion to spend on all this military equipment that they just bought. That means they had it last year and they didn't spend it on those other things because they don't care about us. They really don't. They don't. If they spend it on education, it doesn't go in their pockets. When they spend it on military, it goes in their pockets, or at least, you know, their friends at Halliburton and Raytheon and all those other guys.
And you do see them, though. You know, you have to give them a credit. You do see them every 4 years. They want to spend it on education. They want to spend it on healthcare. They want to, you know, because people were paying attention to them. And now, and then they're like, oh, look, see how generous we are. Wasn't that just Elizabeth Warren? I think last night in the debate, she promised, elect me and no more debt.
Yeah.
Wipe out $2 trillion.
At the same time, she's in Congress right now, right? Like,
you think she'd be able to do something?
That's her time to do that. I mean, like, okay, this is what I see as the president, right? The president doesn't get to pass new bills and say how he's going to spend new money, but he does have the authority to say we're not going to spend money. So technically, the president, and this is, you know, people ask me why am I running for president? Well, yeah, you have more power pushing back against the government as president. If you want to spend more stuff, you stay in Congress, and you get, because like ultimately that's who has to approve that. And, you know, so you're in that position. And this is what pisses me off about the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats are always talking about like, oh, yeah, we're pro cannabis because, you know, whatever. That's they stole that from us. But, you know, it took them long enough. Now they're coming around to it. But they're still like they've been in control of Congress. They had Obama in the White House and Obama was even signing, you know, executive orders to go seize legal dispensaries in California. It's like. It's like they're just talking out of one side of their mouth and just doing something else over here with, you know, like, let me, like, follow the puppet and I'm going to, while we're distracting.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, Oh, it's insane.
And they do it over and over and over. Hey, look over here. We're going to talk a lot about this. And then, oh, you know, sorry, we couldn't make it happen. We came up one vote short. Yeah, come back. You know what? Contribute more to my campaign, and then next year we'll see what we can
do. We'll get him next time, Slugger.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's terrible. And it just pisses me off that people fall for that stuff. But I guess that's our job, right?
You'd hope so, yeah. And I think people don't. That's the weird part to me, is that you talk to people and they're like, oh, yeah, they're a bunch of crooks. But they're my crooks, right? Occasionally, they do something that I like.
Right.
You know, and occasionally, they, you know, all the rest of the time, yeah, that's just politics, right?
I see a lot of people that are kind of like, every single person in Congress is a disgusting, filthy animal, except for the one that I elected.
Exactly. Yes. He's my guy. He's right. My guy. All the rest of them, you know, look at how horrible they are. And I have to admit, I'm guilty of the same thing. I've done the same thing. I've looked at you know, at the state level at my representatives and gone, wow, you know, all the rest of these representatives really stink. Except my guy. My guy's pretty cool. I met him. I talked to him. I got to know him. That's unfortunately the truth.
I think that's kind of like, that's the little piece that I think is revealing of the answer to all of it, because there's too many of them, right? There's 360 whatever congressmen, there's 100 senators, there's, you know, all these other crazy people, DAs and you know, so we can't follow them. We can barely follow one, right? I mean, we can barely follow, you know, what our kids are doing and what's going on at work and all this other stuff. Yeah. And now we're supposed to keep track of 1,000 people. There are actually, I looked this up, there's 500,000 elected positions in the entire country at all levels of government. 500,000. We're talking city council, dog. That's a lot. Wait, was it 500? Yeah, it's 500,000. Am I adding an extra
10,000 zero? 10,000 per state. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You got county boards, which can be like 10 people each. Some states have like, you know, it's like Texas has like 150 counties, I think. You've got your sheriffs. You've got your city council, which is another board, your mayors. Some places have you elect the, you know, the dog catcher, the chief of police, whatever. There's so much stuff. It's close to 500,000, which is a lot. We can't keep track of all that. And so this is why I think that's kind of like the answer to the whole question is, if like, okay, let's say you run a business, right? And if you can't keep track of what your business is doing, what your employees are doing, let's say you have 500,000 employees, you manage every single one directly, right? It's absolutely impossible. You don't set up the hierarchy. You don't have anybody in charge that you can trust. The business fails because you can't do it. You're paying people for doing things and you don't even know what they're doing or what their job is or where they are, if they're even showing up to work. And you're losing money. Do you continue to run the business? Or do you just say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to shut this thing down. And like, and that's kind of what we have in government. And that's not to say that we have to shut the whole thing down, but at the same time, it means we should stop paying them the way that we're paying them. We should only pay them when we get something in return or when they deliver on something. The same way a business works, which is like, you know, you go to a restaurant, they serve you shit food or they take 3 hours to deliver your sandwich and you're like, screw it, I'm going to walk out. Imagine if you had to pay anyway. That's government. Yeah. So, but if the restaurant knows that, oh, they're not going to pay until we do, that's when you get the manager in the back. Hey, chefs, come on. We got all these orders in. Get them out there. Let's go. That's how you get stuff done. But that incentive is gone with government. And I think that's really the whole solution. Give them the incentive by making them earn our money instead of just giving them the power to like, you know, oh yeah, let's just give you all the money. And then, you know, you guys figure it out. Yeah. Figure out your own salaries too.
There's another aspect of that too. You talked about like 500,000 people in one company, right? If you start getting rid of, you know, even if you organize as a hierarchy, if you're losing money, if you start getting rid of the top guys, the ones that are, you know, I'm responsible for managing, I oversee 73 districts to make sure that we're compliant with sub-regulation 73-2B, whatever. Okay, fine, whatever. Get out of here. All you guys down at the bottom, you're responsible for that sub-regulation now. Let's push it down. Let's push it down locally.
Let's just get rid of the sub-regulation, but
well,
that's another story.
If you walk into a restaurant, say you walk into a chain restaurant pick your favorite one, TGI Fridays or whatever. If you have a problem there, you're not calling corporate and talking to somebody 73 states away, two time zones, 400 people up the chain of command to say, hey, you know what, my fries are late.
Right.
You're talking to your waitress right there. The closer, the more local you get, you are capable of keeping an eye on things. I think that's part of the problem here too. A lot of things that should be happening at the local level, taking care of people, taking care of business at the, in terms of like, okay, this is what we know is best for us. It's gotten pushed up and kicked up, went from the local level to the state level and then up to the federal level, because you've got all the people there that are, hey, this is where the money is. This is where the power is. I've got a bunch of people screaming about how we need to, regulate water consumption, because there's a ton of people out in California that are worried about that. And then they start talking, they start putting regulations in to do just that. And you've got a bunch of farmers and cattlemen in the Midwest that sit up and go, wait, hold on, what are we talking about now? Because it wasn't happening there where they could keep an eye on it.
Right.
And we can't keep an eye on the government now. That's just it's too big. It's too spread out. There's too many people. There's too much money involved. Something's going to go wrong, and a lot of things do.
Yeah. Man, you brought up water in California, and what did I want to ask you on that? Oh, I wanted to point this out, because I feel, and maybe I'm crazy, but I feel that in this country, or in that country, in this country where we're broadcasting to,
there we go.
There's a misperception of what things are, of what the world is, because I grew up in it too. So it's not like I grew like, oh, I'm better than everybody because I knew this. Like, no, like it took me a while to really see this. And I think that came from traveling around to places where that wasn't this way. But when you have, I grew up my entire life. I lived in the US for 35 years. Pretty much nonstop, and everywhere I've ever lived is you turn on the water and you can drink out of the water. And then doesn't really, it tastes kind of metallic and I'm probably like, I don't know, doing what kind of damage to myself. But the point is you can drink that and you're not going to get sick. Not immediately anyway.
Yeah.
It took me a really long time to realize how much of a luxury that really is, because it's literally, absolutely, there is a big multi-million dollar plant at the end of thousands of miles of pipes that have been put underground that is taking this water from some place that I don't even know exists. It's filtering it. And they've got generators and pumps and everything going, pushing that water under the ground hundreds of miles to get to my house so I can turn it on and drink it or take a shower in it. And it's like, we expect that. And I see what's going on in Flint, and it's kind of like, and I get it, that's kind of fucked up. And we could talk about a property rights thing. Well, I bought this house because with the expectation that the water was there, that was included in the deal. And now somebody fucked that up. I think if you actually look at it that way, what should happen is a class action lawsuit against the city who destroyed it, make them pay for the damage.
Absolutely.
And then the people who receive the money, either they can say, we're going to fix the pipes with this money, or we're just going to switch to another system that other people use in other countries where they just use water delivery or local storage with cisterns like on the roof,
right,
or whatever. Use that money for that. There are alternatives. make that decision now that your property's already been damaged in this system. Because, you know, I mean, I figure you, once you built the houses on top of it, it's kind of hard to like redo all. That's probably why it's such a difficult problem to solve. But yeah, I don't know. I think if we look at it that way, it's still, yes, it's still a really fucked up situation, but I think that makes the problem easier to solve. It's like, you know, once something happens that changes what your life is, you can't always get back to what it was before that, but you can figure out a different way to set things up so things are good moving forward.
Yeah. And to kind of circle back to what you mentioned at the beginning when we started talking, you look at how much people were paying in taxes and you think, okay, how much could the city of Flint, the people of the city of Flint, put towards correcting this problem if they weren't paying half of everything that they owned to the state and federal local government to make sure that you know, the snail darters in California are properly taken care of, right? If they could actually take the money that they have that they earn and use it to correct their problems and make their lives better, I'm pretty sure that problem would not persist, not for long.
Right. Yeah, it's no, that's a huge point. And that's why, you know, I like to say on my campaign, we're going to double your paycheck and cut your cost of living, because it's you're being taxed on both ends. And everybody's like, I mean, this is the answer to the poverty problem, too. Everyone's going homeless in California. Why? There's still the same number of houses. How are people just homeless? I get like some people are moving into different areas and then you've got more competition. And you've got government with zoning laws saying you can't turn this house into a 5-unit apartment. But you have the government saying,
are you saying that the government's the problem there?
Yeah, exactly.
That's surprising. Oh, wow.
But it's like,
that's never happened.
But it's like, there are people who are literally homeless because of taxes. Oh, you can't pay your property tax? We're going to, like in California. My grandparents passed recently and they had a house. And the house was all 100% paid off. And if we had accepted the house as a as an inheritance, we would have had to, because they were paying like property tax based on, you know, they bought the house in the 70s, right?
Right.
Like 50 yeah. bucks a month or something in property tax. If we received it as an inheritance, we would have been paying something like $2,000 a month in property tax. Like, that's an insane amount of money. Now think about this, because a lot of people are like, yeah, well, screw you, you rich bastard inheriting, like, yeah, I'm not a welfare, you know, like, what's it called? Trust fund baby. Like, you know, they say all these things, but it's like, well, hold on. Think about this. A lot of people who are saying this, their parents might have been in the same situation, or they might've been in the same situation. But because the Democrats come along and say, oh, yeah, we need to tax inheritance and we need to tax property and all this other stuff, and they buy it, that's why you never received a house from your family and you're working your ass off to pay your rent. And what makes this even worse, what compounds this even worse, is so everybody's working their ass off to pay rent. That means everybody's like, oh, shit, I really need to get a job. What is that? Surplus. Labor surplus. Now you have more people in the pool of labor. Meanwhile, all the corporations are like, yeah, we only need like 5 people to work here, and there's 1,000 people lined up to get a job. What does that mean? Let's pay them $1 an hour. So when you're pissed off at the minimum wage, don't be pissed off that it's these greedy corporations that are trying to lowball you. Be pissed off that you might have been one of the few that inherited something, or if you weren't, you would have a lot less people to compete with if people weren't out there trying to work their ass off to keep what they already had.
And it, when you get right down to it too, you start taxes, government regulation, everything drives the price of things up. You look at the places where government hasn't interfered. I was just listening this morning. You know, I don't know if I can say this. I was listening to Glenn Beck. He's supposed to be, he's a libertarian, isn't he? Supposed to be?
I read one of his books before I became a libertarian, but after I was like sick of Republicans, I think. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of transitional.
But listening to him this morning, and he was talking about years ago when he started doing broadcasting. They had, I think he said, it was an 84-inch screen TV in his studio, and basically every technical guy in the studio is like, you can do whatever you want here. Do not touch that screen. That screen is worth more than you are. And he mentioned it. He said, I was out in Walmart the other day. I saw an 84-inch screen, $1,500.
Right.
Right. When you're not regulated, when you're not taxed, when you don't have the government interfering with everything, prices get driven down. Generally, my wife got LASIK done. At one point, it would have cost something like $5,000 an eye. You know, she eventually got it. I think it was $750. When the government doesn't interfere, prices get driven down. In your example, how much am I working, and for what? There are times when I've got, like I mentioned, I've got three kids. I'd love to be able to work a little bit less and spend more time with them. But if you're keeping the prices of everything high, if you're keeping the property taxes high, if you're keeping the rent high, you're keeping the, all this other stuff that I've got to pay or I get thrown in jail, I have no choice. I need to work. When honestly, sometimes I think, it'd be nice to back off and maybe work part time and let somebody else work part time. And maybe we could have two people happy instead of one person slaving away.
Right. Yeah, I mean, really,
I think you've got that figured out, I think.
Yeah.
Down there in New Mexico.
I mean, like, really, like, nobody, I mean, think about it. School's supposed to teach us to be smart. Like, my grandmother used to tell me always, there's nothing more valuable in your life than an education. But the education you get in school is not that education. I mean, yes, like, learn to be smart, learn to plan your life out and figure out what you want to do and set yourself up so that you're not going to be running this rat race your whole life. But what does school teach you? The rat race. Learn, go get a job, work until you're 65, and then retire, and the government's going to keep your paychecks coming. They don't teach you to save.
Actually, they're hoping that you'll die after you retire.
Yeah.
That's what that's the bet, right? Retire and die. That's the best thing.
The backside of things while they're telling you about how great your life is going to be after 65. They don't teach you how to save. They don't teach you how to invest. They don't teach you, like, they don't even tell you, hey, work hard, figure out a way to work hard and save up money so you can retire younger. Like, even that, even if they're not telling you how, they're not telling you that's a good idea. And it's like, because this entire school system was designed around putting us to work in the factories and keeping the factories working. I mean, all these big corporations were working with Rockefeller, who was setting up the Department of Education, who was basically like, oh yeah, we need these. I mean, look at people complain about the cost of college now. And I remember when I was a kid, I never even imagined I would be accepted for one of these. But I remember, like, Microsoft was giving out grants. Microsoft was giving out free money for people to go to college. Why? Because they needed those types of employees, and they knew, like, even if I gave you the grant, it's no guarantee that you're going to come work for me. But at the same time, it is a pretty good guarantee that for the recipient of the grant, oh wow, Microsoft gave me this money, and because of that, as soon as I graduate, I get a free job interview with them, and they're more likely to hire me. Perfect. Right.
There are companies that are still doing that today. I mean, you mentioned Microsoft. They have a program that they run with education in schools. I think that Amazon has one as well. I've seen other organizations that do the same thing because it's valuable to them. That's what they want to encourage. That's what they want to foster, which kind of, again, people will pay for what they want. They will find a way to come up with the money and to fund something, whether that's directly, or getting a consortium together or getting individuals together to make something happen. When people want something, they'll find a way to pay for it. When people want something and nobody else does, what they do is they go to the government and say, hey, there ought to be a law. Let's get some money. Let's make this happen. Right. Yeah, nobody else wants it. But if I can convince you, what, you know, like you said, whatever it is, you 250 people or whatever in Congress, then that's all I need to do. And then I'll have this big pool of money for my pet project.
Right. And, that's, you know, that's so here's an interesting example. This this guy, you know, he's like, oh, libertarians are stupid. There was a city that was a libertarian city and look how bad it failed. And he sent me this article, and it's this little city on like the southwestern edge of San Antonio, outside of the incorporated area, corporation, of course, as mm-hmm. they call it.
Yeah.
And so what was interesting was this guy was like, yeah, this is a city. He got elected to mayor. No, hang on a second. It was unincorporated. The first thing he did was he incorporated it and then was going to make it a libertarian city. Well, it would have been more libertarian if it stayed unincorporated. But so he was going to try to show, hey, the free market is going to, you know, it's going to make this little city thrive. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get some businesses. He went out to Walmart and he says, I'm going to get Walmart to build a store here. And Walmart's going to come in and it's going to be wonderful. They're going to give us jobs and all these wonderful things. They're going to come here because they don't have to pay sales tax. It's going to be wonderful for them. It's going to be great for our economy. Things are going to be perfect and our libertarian city will thrive. Now, of course, that failed. And this guy was pointing out, see, libertarianism fails. But here's the thing. Libertarianism does not exist in a vacuum. So what happened was he went to Walmart and said, hey, can you come down and build a Walmart here? So they went down, they checked out the place, and they said, well, let's see. You don't have any power, you don't have any sewage, you don't have any running water to this land where you want us to build the Walmart. So basically, we're not going to do it unless you build all that. And so, you know, he's a libertarian city. He has no taxes, no nothing. How's he going to afford all that? Now, this is why it failed, right? See, Walmart hates the free market. Is the point of this. But think about what they're competing with. This is an unincorporated or a previously unincorporated low density, low population area that they right. want to put a Walmart in, which is only about 3 miles from the incorporated area of San Antonio, which basically means, well, if we build one 3 miles that way, we can get San Antonio to give us all that shit for free. Why right. would we pay that when we can build another one right here? And all of these people that live in your city, they can just drive 3 miles. It's not really that far. And they'll still give us the money. And yeah, we'll pay a little bit in property tax, but we'll get all these kickbacks from the city too. So who cares, really? And yep. so that's why I say this little city doesn't exist in a vacuum. And even though they were trying to be libertarian about it, it's really difficult to build a little libertarian bubble inside of like a big socialist system.
Yeah,
because it's like, absolutely. How do you beat free?
No, and that's how do you beat free, especially when all those people there were being taxed,
mm-hmm.
their money was being taken, and it was being turned around and given to San Antonio to, you know, not directly. They were outside of the incorporated area, but it goes to the state. The state says, we need to give money to San Antonio because they're attracting Walmarts and they need to build more sewage there. So let's go ahead and. Yeah, it's not just, you know, existing in a bubble. It's existing in a hostile bubble where people right. are actively doing their best to screw you over and make sure that you fail.
It's almost like you know, if here's an example from when I was younger. You can go to what was it? Circuit City. They're out of business now. Mm-hmm. You can go to Circuit City and buy a car stereo for $400. Or you could buy the stolen one for $200.
Yeah.
And so, but see there, it's like, oh, it's stolen. Maybe I shouldn't do that, even though plenty of people still did. But when you look at that Walmart example, it's like, oh, no, it's not stolen money. The city's going to do it. It's like, right. it's not. So it's that illusion of not being stolen money.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else is doing it out of the goodness of their heart.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right? They just got a great mayor. He's awesome. He's got, I don't know where he gets his money from. I hear he's in some kind of business, pharmaceuticals. I don't know. yeah, no, it's probably like a mayor in Mexico. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, but this kind of goes back to that, you know, that what we were talking about earlier about how the system is so complicated, nobody can learn it all. And so when all you can see is the shiny facade of, you know, what it is, it's like, I guess it's, oh man, I used to get this all the time because I was always the computer guy. People would call me up and they're at the store and they're like, which computer should I get? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. What do you want to do with it? Well, this one's got 16 megs and this one's got a DVD. Like, and it's like, and it's like, I can't explain to you everything that's, because to me, it's like, I want to know everything that's inside of it. But to somebody else who's just concerned with, like, I just want it to sit on my desk and I want it, you know, like, it's a totally different perspective of what this is. And that's what most people are doing with government and politics is like, oh, yeah, it's just a shiny thing that I'm voting for that, you know, it gives me a couple services. And they totally don't see that it's just this like rat infested pile of garbage behind this shiny facade of giving you nice things.
So are we still talking about government there or are you talking about HP? Because I'm just curious. No, it that's my experience. No, but you're right. People look at.
I'm on a MacBook, so I'm stuck.
People look at something and they think, again, like you're saying, they look at the outside and like, wow, this looks like a really good computer. It's really slick. It's really nice, and it's a bargain. It's a real steal, and you're like, no, you're going to pay for it, one way or another. You're going to pay for it. If you don't know what you're getting, you're it's going to come back and bite you more than likely. And they end, you know, just like with the government, they buy something cheap. And then, you know, 3 months down the line, they're paying to fix it, which is the government side is coming back saying, hey, you know what? That high speed rail project. We thought we could do it for $100 million. It's almost done. We've got nearly a quarter mile of track laid and we just need to triple the initial budget. And,
No, you know which one is the worst is inkjet printers, because they'll give you a free printer.
Yes,
like you buy a computer, here's a free printer. Oh wow, free printer, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh shit,
it's $50 a page in ink.
Oh yeah, the price, the pound for pound, the most expensive substance on the face of the earth is printer ink. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
If you get
what they do,
okay, because of that, right? It opened a black market for people to say like, oh yeah, I mean the ink itself is really like almost as cheap as water. You could buy a gallon of ink for $5. The problem is, how do you get it back into the cartridge? So all these people were like coming up with all these creative ways, and then so the printer manufacturers were like, well, if they're buying this ink from everybody else, we're losing money. So then they figured out how to put chips in the printer cartridges, making them more expensive, so that they couldn't be counterfeit. And then like people figured out how to counterfeit them. So it's like this cat and mouse game, and they're just like, and it's like, why can't you please? And this is what's interesting. This is what they do to consumers, the people who don't understand what the fuck they're buying. But when you get to the professional printers, like Epson too, right? Epson does this when you buy their free little printers. My dad does like professional printing on like the big, he's got one of these like massive, like, you know, 8 foot long printers. Yeah. And with those, you pay for the printer, like several thousand of dollars. I don't know how much he pays. But you buy the ink in like gallons, and it's it's authentic from Epson. They're not ripping you off because they know you're a business owner. You know more about the printer. You're worried about costs. You're going to be doing a lot of like all these other factors play in versus the idiot who's just like, oh, free printer. No offense, everybody. But it's like and that's exactly the difference between the people who look at government and they're like, oh, free roads. Versus people like us who are like, no, you're paying for the ink. You're paying for the ink that you stick in your gas tank, right?
Yes, yes.
And you're paying a million times more than what those roads cost to build in the first place.
Yeah. You know, you just don't get value for your money from government. If you look at, the investors, you look at Bill Gates, you look at Sergey Brin, you look at, you know, various other people that have money to spend, Paul Allen and whatnot, when they want to do something good with it, when they say, hey, you know what, I would like to give back to society, I would like to give back to the people who help make me who I am and help me to succeed, you don't see them lining up at Congress to start shoveling money into the government. They do everything they can to take the money that they have, to isolate it from the government so the government can't take any more of it, and then set up an organization to take care of people and to do what they want to do.
Right.
They put their money someplace where it can be effective, and that's not the government. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you get it. We get it. We've got to get other people together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to get them past it. I think you still have, let me go back to the printer example. You still have your class of people where you could tell them, like, yeah, you're going to get ripped off with the ink. And they will still say, but I don't care. It's a free printer.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually a perfect example of what we deal with as libertarians when we talk to people, and they're like, yeah, but I don't care. I'm happy to pay a small percentage of my income so that we can have schools to educate our children. I don't want to grow up in a world full of idiots. Well, we don't want to grow up in a world full of idiots either. And we're happy to pay for that, just not through government.
Yes. Getting that across to people. I think you heard me up in New Hampshire. My question that I like to throw out for people is, you know, you've seen how some of these government agencies run. Everybody's had an adventure with the DMV. I've dealt with the INS, you know, various other, you yourself, you've dealt with them, you know, dealt with the border
customs,
you know,
yeah.
Border Patrol and customs. And all of these agencies have their problems. All of them are bloated. All of them have too much that they do. What makes you think that everything else is different? You know, they call that in newspapers, the Murray Gell-Mann effect. I think it was Michael Crichton. Murray Gell-Mann was a friend of his, brilliant man, physicist. He said when there's an article in the paper about a physics discovery, Murray will look at it and tell me, you know, basically every word after, you know, the date is wrong. Right. They just get it together. But you turn the page and you're like, oh, here's what's happening in the Middle East now. And you think, well, they got everything horribly wrong over here, but the rest of everything's right. The government's the same way.
I think that's mostly fear, because to anybody else, it's like, okay, look, if government schools went away, yeah, I'm sure I could figure out, I could drive my kid to, like, you know, some private school, and we'll do that, right? We'll figure that out, make it work. But if the government goes away in Iran, oh my God, what are we gonna? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how am I, like, am I gonna donate to the Salvation Army, and are they gonna, like, have like a military branch now? That, like, but the truth is, like, it's just not. They don't realize that, like, all the shit that's going on is just, like, one, it's you know, it's displayed in front of us to justify more taxes and all this other bullshit that they're doing. You know, we have to justify government, but they don't realize that most of this stuff is really, it's really irrelevant. And it's, a lot of it's created by the fact that the United States, I mean, think about it. Like, why does everybody hate Americans, right? Why does Iran hate the United States, but do they hate Canada that much? And it's like, I mean, Canada's got almost as much freedom as America has, more or less, right? Why doesn't everybody hate Canada for their freedom? It's because Canada's not building military bases around and stealing oil from all these places. That's the thing you have to realize. Canada's not worried about being invaded. We shouldn't be either, but we just got to get all these, you know, we have to stop sponsoring all these fucking pirates from going to the Middle East and stealing everything and in our name. And then people will stop hating us.
I mean, you're down in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got areas down there where they're dealing with, you know, the drug, you know, the underground drug economy. You've got, you know, criminal enterprises that honestly would not exist if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, years ago the United States said, "Oh, hey, we're going to say that this, you know, this is illegal. You can't do this." There was a demand for it, so people decided that they would, like I said, black market printer ink for ink cartridges. Hey, there's people who want this. We can supply it. And, you know, if we're, you know, if we're already breaking the law doing it, then who cares if we break some more laws along the way? So ultimately, you know, that sort of situation is a result of probably a very inadvertent result of what we did. I don't think that the people who set out to do that were intending to say, hey, let's set up some drug warlords down in Colombia and Central America.
Right.
But that's what happened. And, you know, we're living with the repercussions there. And the more and more you look at history, the answer is, you know what, let's not do that. Let's not poke our finger in here. Let's not stick our nose in here. Let's not kick over this anthill. How about we just not? And if we stop doing that, maybe all these bad things that happen when we start kicking rocks and poking people in the eye and whatnot, maybe that will stop happening.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So
I think it was you actually that said they're growing avocados down in Mexico now because avocados are more lucrative.
I found out recently that they're growing tomatoes here, but they're growing better tomatoes than Florida's growing because they're actually from here. I found out that the word tomato comes from the word tomatl, which is Nahuatl, which comes from like. It's like Central Mexico. That's one of the native languages before the Spanish came. And so a tomato is native to here. So it grows better in this climate. And the tomato farmers in Florida are all pissed off because their tomatoes aren't as good because the climate's not as good. And they have to get less money for their tomatoes. But if they can ban importing tomatoes across the border, then we're the only tomatoes you can buy. Yes. So here, eat our shit. Yes. Tomatoes,
man.
It's absolutely insane. And it's just, that is like, that's exactly what cartels do. I mean, they say, you know, you're on my territory, get out.
Yes.
And we'll use.
And what's the difference between a bunch of tomato farmers saying, hey, I've got some armed guys. They just happen to be paid for by money that we stole from you, mm-hmm. but we're going to tell them to prevent.
I'm
going to get in trouble.
It's just structuring. Those aren't our military guys. They work for a corporation that works for another corporation that works for. And so the money goes. Yeah. So it's not us, but it's
plausible
it's
deniability. We just asked for, you know, somebody to take care of this problem.
Right.
Who will rid me of these meddling tomatoes?
And somebody made a bid in a free market and said, I'll provide that service to you, sir. It only costs, you can buy my vote in Congress for only $50,000 a month.
There you go, yes.
Okay, so here's a question for you.
Shoot.
Because you were talking about, okay, this effect that you were talking about, what was it called? Where everything
Murray-Gell-Mann effect.
Murray-Gell-Gilman.
Gell-Mann.
Gell-Mann.
Gell-Dash-Mann.
Gell-Dash-Mann. Okay, Gell-Mann. Murray-Gell-Mann, I'm totally going to forget that in like 2 minutes. if this Murray-Gell-Mann effect, does this include everything being wrong, or is that the effect where everything is wrong, but you accept that they're able to do something else?
It's something that you're experienced with. You see all the flaws in the reporting. You see all the errors that are made. But then you turn the page and you think, oh, here's an area that I don't have any experience in. I'm going to take them at their word.
Okay. So this is totally not related to that at all. Just the first half.
okay.
So, okay, because this is what I hear from a lot of libertarians and activists and all kinds of other people, right? I hear it from Democrats and Republicans. We say like, oh, yeah, we know everything is wrong with this. Everything is wrong with this. This agency needs to go away. Libertarians is pretty much every agency. Democrats, yeah. It's some. Republicans, it's others. If, this is the question, if it weren't for those flaws, why should we still get rid of those organizations? So let's say, for example, let's say what's an industry that's terrible? If the FDA got everything right,
right,
if they weren't approving bad drugs, they weren't taking bribes, they weren't jacking up the cost of healthcare, if all these things we can say that are bad about the FDA weren't there, why should we still get rid of it?
Good question. And I mean, ultimately, I mean, for you, right? It comes down to you're wearing it right there on your head. You're taking money from people to fund something. The people that are interested in having the perfect FDA do the perfect FDA job would willingly pay for that because it's quality service. Ultimately, they're not going to do a perfect job though, right? And as, like you mentioned, again, going back to our conversation about restaurants, if they're screwing things up, you can, in the restaurant, you can say, hey, that's it, I'm done. It's been 3 hours, I still don't have a sandwich, I'm getting up and I'm leaving, I'm gonna go someplace else. If you have one FDA, then they basically get to do essentially whatever they want. Even if they're perfect today, they may be completely screwed up after, 4 years in the next administration and whatnot. If you've got 50 different FDAs, all of them competing for business, all of them looking for, hey, we're fantastic example along those lines, Underwriter Labs, right? Everybody, right. You buy something electronic. I'm looking here. I've got a power strip sitting right next to me with the little UL approved stamp on it. People pay to have their stuff tested and certified as this is safe for you, right? This is something that won't burn your house down. I've actually had my house burned down thanks to – no, seriously. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. We lost a bunch of stuff. Something went wrong with a piece of equipment. And, you've got – sometimes that happens. You've got – Sometimes you have bad things happen. But if you have a private agency that's doing that sort of investigation, if we had determined that there was something wrong with the way that Underwriters Labs had certified a piece of equipment, we can go back to them and say, hey, this is your fault. You said it was safe to use. You go back to the FDA and say, hey, this drug, it's supposed to, cure my cough and it gave me cancer. And they're like, oh, well, that's, sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to do that. we're indemnified. You can't do anything to us. We're the government. What was it in Saturday Night Live and back in the 70s? We don't care. We're the phone company, right? You can't do anything to us.
Yeah. South Park did that with like Comcast or something too.
Yeah. But if you have competition, approve services for everybody. You can say, hey, this is where I want to go. This guy is meeting my needs. I trust this guy over here because he really knows what he's doing. This guy over here has a bad record. They're going to go out of business. And you end up with the Underwriter Labs, good reputation. It means something to them to protect that reputation. It means something to them to turn out a good product.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. And I want to give you an opportunity to plug whatever you want to plug your website. You need volunteers, you need money. What do you need? How's the campaign going?
Campaign's going well. Doing a lot of traveling. Going to be seeing I think you in Georgia, right? You're gonna be down there. Okay. Enjoying it, meeting a lot of people, a lot of really wonderful people. That's one of the things that I do like about Libertarian Party. Conventions are fun, but You guys are awesome. Seriously, the other candidates are fantastic. Getting to know them has been a real trip. It's been a lot of fun. Libertarian Party is where I'm at now. It's where I finally found a home. It's where I'm staying. Donations, travel isn't cheap. Could always use some donations. http://www. We still have to say that even after all these years. Yeah, is it on there?
Right there.
Right there. samrob2020.com/donate to do a donation. If you want to volunteer, you can also sign up there. The other thing I'll plug is a website that has been very beneficial to me. Today is day 1101 that I'm nicotine free, thanks to a place called killthecan.org. Nice. A bunch of wonderful folks there. If you're looking to kick the nicotine addiction, I won't say habit because that's not what it is. It's a drug. It's changing your mind. If you're looking to get yourself out of that loop, that's a wonderful place to go. And let's see, anything else I want to plug? Pay attention to SamRob 2020 on Facebook if you're so inclined. And also pay attention to Dan Taxation is Theft Berman on Facebook and online, because he is an awesome guy. He really is. I think I mentioned to someone earlier that that you were the first of the other candidates that reach out to me. So you're a fantastic guy and a great human being. But thank you. Thank you for inviting me on.
Awesome. Yeah, and thank you for the compliments. I know how awesome I am, but I always like to hear yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. This was a great talk. I'd love to have you back sometime. I love to see you again in Georgia. And on the campaign trail is going to be awesome. I'm glad we have great people like you there. And go donate to him, donate to me, donate to both. Mm-hmm. How much money you got? Throw it all out there. You can only donate a maximum of $2,800 per candidate until the primary. So if you have $5,600 laying around, do $2,800 both. Which incidentally, if you did that today, there's a contest going on. If anyone can raise $2,500 for my campaign before the Georgia convention, I'm not going to be wearing this big yellow hat that everybody hates so much.
I kind of like the hat.
I love it too. And I take it off during the debates. I mean, people make this thing like, oh yeah, he wears it all the time. And it's like, no, not really. But I'm going to be wearing it. I'm actually going, so after Georgia, I'm going to the Virginia Capitol. They're having a big protest because of the gun ban. And Shit's getting heated now because they, what do? They declared a state of emergency and banned guns because it was going to be an open carry rally or something like that. They banned guns on Capitol grounds now. I mean, it's always banned inside the building, but like outside, and like people are really pissed off. The boogaloo might start on Monday. I'm going to be there. Cameras rolling. Maybe I'll witness some crazy stuff. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. So before I keep rambling, thanks again so much. I'll see you soon. And taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Rhodes.
You boys like Mexico!